it's good to do from time to time is ask ourselves why we believe there is a God or why we believe the Bible is God's word. Because it does no good to memorize scripture if there is no God. If the Bible is not his word, it's just one book among many books. It doesn't really make a big difference if you know it or not. However, this is the idea of apologetics, and it's found in the Bible. This means not to apologize for faith, but rather to give reason for faith. And the Bible describes it like this in a few verses, but Hebrews 13, verse 4 says, every house is built by someone, but he that built all things is God. That is a classic argument from apologetics or defense of scripture, defense of God. All right. Here we see it's an argument of cause and effect. If you have a product or an effect, there must be a cause. And that cause must be adequate cause, right? They can't be unrelated. They have to connect to somebody. If you have something that causes something else, it has to be sufficient in power and scope and intelligence to make the thing that has been made or to do the thing that has been done. In Hebrews 3:3, it says, he that built the house hath more honor than the house. In other words, a watch demands a watchmaker, and the watchmaker has to have more intelligence than the thing he made to show his mastery to be able to produce that thing. Now, that's how we do things in everyday life, period. For someone to say it's not that way is just crazy, right? Things don't happen accidentally. Things don't happen without intelligence or design behind them. It's been said before that if you have enough monkeys banging on typewriters, you'll get Shakespeare eventually. No, you won't. You'll never get Shakespeare, ever, right? The odds of that happening are so rare, they're actually impossible. There's a law, I think it's called Bohl's Law. It's a law in math, which says there comes a point at which things become so, the odds become so small, it's impossible to ever occur, right? And so there are some things like that, where the odds get so small and so infinitesimal that they can never actually happen. And there are things like that when it comes to these things we're talking about tonight. I mentioned before that every watch demands a watchmaker. We would say like this, every smartphone has a smartphone maker. We know these things just don't pop out of the ground. Forget my movie references, but The Lord of the Rings, remember those orc things that dug out of the mud? You remember those things? Yeah, none of the young people are nodding their heads. But they dug these creatures out of the dirt, and they say, well, if you have this thing and they make these orcs, and these orcs are evil, you can just get them out of the mud. Of course, that's ridiculous. We know it's fiction, but people act as if that works today in our time, right? Where these complex things just happen, and we're not to ask how they happen or why they. Of course, we know how they happen, why that. They come as a part of much work and labor. These things are made. Said another way, the purposeful, intelligent design demands there being a God who gave these things. Now, we're going to look at it again from Scripture. It's Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows, or the sky shows, his handiwork. So you can look in the night sky even to see God's glory and design and plan if you will take time to look closely at these things. Psalm 39, verse 14 puts like this, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Who says that? The writer of the psalm. He says, I, not just the firmament, but he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous, marvelous are thy works, and thy soul knows right well. We can look at ourselves and get from that. Augustine put it like this long ago. He said, men go abroad to wonder at the height of the mountains and at the huge waves of the sea, at the long course of rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the stars, and they pass by themselves without even wondering. They walk across nature and they say, well, don't even think twice about it. We look at the stars and wonder, but when it comes to me and my hands and my eyes and my ears, I don't give it a second thought. So let's talk for tonight briefly about a couple things. One, let's talk about the cell, the human cell in biology. This idea of not going to look at the sun, moon, and stars tonight, we're going to look at the idea of this human, the human cell. This is pivotal when it comes to the accepting of Darwinian evolution. This is a big deal. I've talked about it. I mentioned this from time to time in classes and things. But this is pivotal because if what we know about the cell is true, then modern-day evolutionary theory cannot have happened, period. It's an impossibility. Let's look, what do I mean by that? Well, Ernst Haeckel, who was a contemporary of Darwin, or a chief apologist for Darwin, said this, speaking of the human cell. He said, composed of chiefly of carbon with a mixture of hydrogen, nitrogen, and sulfur, these components properly united produce the soul and body of the animated world, and suitably nursed became man. With this single argument, the mystery of the universe is explained, the deity annulled, and a new era of infinite knowledge is ushered in. Now, the idea was, at the time, there were no telescopes, not that you could see a human cell. And the idea was that you just are made of this bag of goo, protoplasm. Sure, your muscles were different kinds of goo than your brains and different kinds of goo of your bones, different kinds of goo from your innards here, but it's all just goo mixed in different ratios, and that explains all life. See? We've got it settled now. But in 88, Leafley and Hester, I think in the book called Darwin's Black Box, said, we once thought the cell, the basic unit of life, was a simple bag of protoplasm. Then we learned that each cell in any life form is a teeming micro-universe of compartment structures and chemical agents. And each cell has, each human being rather, has billions of cells. We're going to crack that open a bit further tonight. If you would think of Carl Sagan, now Carl Sagan, not an atheist, he's not one anymore. All right? Now he had this to say about the human cell. He said, a single human is composed of an ambulatory collection of 10 to the 14 cells. That's a lot of zeros. The information content of a simple cell has been established at about 10 to the 12 bits, comparable to about 100 million pages of the Encyclopedia Britannica. That's the information of one single cell. You have billions in you that do different things. So that's the informational content. That's the DNA sequencing. That's how it works together. That's how a human cell is put together. Of course, he thought that was all just amazing and it just happened somehow. In cell biology, a human body is composed of 250 different kinds of cells. 250 different kinds. Red blood cells, white blood cells, muscle cells, fat cells, nerve cells, totaling 100 trillion cells in an average adult. I said billions while I go, it's actually trillions. Those numbers are just staggering. Some are so small that 20,000 would fit inside a capital O from a standard typewriter. Y'all remember those? They don't. All the cells of the human body, if it's set end to end, would encircle the earth over 200 times. That comes from a single person, and the cells from a single person doing that. It's crazy how small the cells are and how much of it they make up and how they would stretch out if elongated. It's just amazing. Or how about this? Each cell is composed of a cell membrane, a covering, that encloses the organism, just like we have skin. And the membrane allows selective transport into and out of the cell. Now, this means some stuff it'll let in, some stuff it won't. But based on what it needs at the time, this means it's hyper-intelligent in some fashion. It's programmed this way. This recognizes hundreds of compounds swimming around it and permits or denies patches according to the cell's needs. So all these nutrients and things swimming in and outside this membrane of the cell and just lets in certain things when it needs them and lets other things leave like waste products when it doesn't want them in there anymore because it causes problems. This happens all automatically without you thinking about it. And it happens billions of times a day. And some of the memories just know what they need at a certain time to keep the cell healthy and growing and to coordinate with the other cells as well. It's just mind-boggling that this could happen without any kind of design behind it. There are over 20 different chemical reactions occurring in any one cell at a time. 20 different reactions at one time. Each cell containing 5 major components. Okay, science class, I get that, but look at the complexity of this thing. These components are communication, waste disposal, nutrition, repair, and reproduction. Not only a cell can reproduce, it can fix itself. It can repair itself. Now think about how amazing that is, that a cell can be damaged and fix itself most of the time without having to be replaced. It can do either or of those things. For example, the nucleus contains the DNA. What we're talking about. If the DNA from a single human cell were unraveled, it would be 6 feet long from one cell and would contain 3.1 billion base pairs. You know, the helix we see in illustrations of the DNA, how that was discovered. That's an actual representation of how DNA looks in your cell. It's just kind of all squished up. 3.1 billion base pairs. That describes you. Because each and every cell in your body has a complete blueprint how to rebuild you. Every cell of your trillions of cells, everyone can rebuild you. Now, not all do that, of course, but the information is there. That's astounding. If all the DNA in an adult were placed end to end, it would reach the sun and back 400 times. If you could unravel all DNA and stretch it out, it would go that far. That sounds like a lie. That sounds like an outright fabrication. But I found that in more than one publication about science. It's not the only place I found it. And so the thing about how complex we are and how we're made minutely and all these information is just stuffed in these tiny, tiny cells is just random happenstance, I guess. But all that could be there. Psalm 134, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. Now, would you have to be able to look at this information when it comes to cell biology to figure out that we're pretty amazing? I saw an argument once in a debate. And a guy brought up a prosthetic of a hand. Now, it wasn't a modern robotic hand. It was an older hand that didn't really articulate, but it was very finely carved as to its shape and the texture of the flesh, what it felt like. And it was very finely made. It took a long time to make it. Didn't even move, but it was made so it could attach to an arm and look like a hand. Really, really close to a hand, right? And the person who brought it up on stage said, listen, this take craftsmanship. Of course it did. This take time and effort to make this thing and make it look proper and make it look like human. And of course it took time. Of course it took intelligence and time. Yet we're to say the human hand that can repair itself and play instruments and work and chop wood and all the things a hand can do, type on a phone, for example, or an actual keyboard. A hand that does that is purely natural, accidental. That just happened from dead rocks and matter. Somehow you get a hand from that. Now, if I were to be like this, and I were to have something in my hand, and look at it. And you say, Jim, what are you looking at? I would go, nothing. Nothing at all. Really? Nothing. Well, what's in your hand? Nothing. What are you looking at? Nothing. After 5 minutes of that, you think I was crazy. But if I were to say, that there was nothing in the universe, nothing at all, and all of a sudden, everything just existed. What do you think about me? What do you think I needed a vacation in a very rubbery room? You would. Because you would doubt my perception on reality was very strong. My hold on reality was very strong. You would think I had a problem with me. Romans 1:18 says this. I like how Romans 1 put this. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God's revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now look where he's going with this. He's talking about the idea there being sin in the world and man's condemnation because of sin. That's a big deal. All right. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and Romans 6, verse 23, about the wages of sin is death, right? And all sin comes short of the glory of God. But this is where he starts the argument. He says here, God's wrath is revealed. On who? Those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Look at verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. How's God shown me anything? How's God, knowledge of God made manifest in me? How's that possible? How's God told me anything? Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Those who deny God, he said, they have no excuse to deny him. Why not? Because you can come from the idea of nature itself, you can come to the conclusion there must be something bigger, there must be an overarching, intelligent, and divine just by the things around us. That's what God says. People who deny God because I've never talked to God, I've never seen the Bible, he says they are without excuse. Because anyone can look around, you can look at nature, you can look at yourself, you can look at stars, and see there must be something behind this power and design that we see all around us, this intelligence. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What happens when you realize there's a God, but you stop being thankful? You're going down a very dark path. If we can acknowledge there must be something besides us and ignore that, it takes us to a place where it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now I want to look at a couple more things, and the lesson will be yours in just a minute, said the preacher with an hour to go. But look, if you would, the idea of the genetic code. Now, it is the genetic code that ensures that living things reproduce after their own kind. This is what you see talked about in Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, Genesis 1, 24. Every living thing produces after its own kind. That means bird makes birds, people make people, horses make horses. You don't have a bird and a bird make a horse, or a bird and a horse make a human being. That's not how it works, right? The way we're made in nature is that we don't have that possibility of that happening at all. We have to have the same number of chromosomes. They have to line up. All those things that have to be true. So this is what allows us to, again, procreate and have parents and children. That's how it works. Now, in the DNA, there's also a language. For example, wherever you go in the world, whatever animal, plant, bug, or blob you look at, if it's alive, it will use the same dictionary and know the same code. All life is one. The genetic code is the same in every creature. We all use exactly the same language. What do you mean by that? DNA is simple. Four things, A, G, C, and T. That represents, I believe, amino acids. But so every genome, every part of the code, is a combination of those four things. That's it. Different combinations, different strands pulled together. Just those four things. Every living thing you'll ever see is a combination of that code in different orders and different strings. That's it. Human beings and horses have the same code, different amounts and different way of putting it together, but all living things have the same code. That's why every living thing makes its own kind. It's not a roll of dice, right? Now, if we're to believe this idea that you can get, there's the old argument about, well, I guess if all this is true, you could have a tornado go through a junkyard and produce a fully functional 747 ready for takeoff, right? Of course, that couldn't happen. It makes no sense, but that's what we're asked to believe. There is such an intense pull to get away from God and the moral order and what's right and wrong, if there even is right and wrong. There's such an intense need to get away from that that we're going to ignore all the idea and logic and reason that we're just somehow happened. It's crazy. But preacher, don't tell me how to live. Bible, don't tell me how to live. God, don't say what's best for me. Sure, I know the Bible says God made us and God made us, loved us enough to give a son on the cross for my sins and give me a moral order to live by so my life could be superior and best. How can I have the abundant life through following the laws of Christ? I get that. But I don't want you to tell me what to do. Because we're stubborn. Because we're willful, that's why. So we'll reject all the reasoning in the world, reject mountains of evidence because we just don't want to do what God said do. That's selfish and moronic at the same time. The entire chemical information required to construct a man is compressed into the nucleus of each cell in a single strand of DNA. To request an engineer to make this accomplishment at this level of information and miniaturization would be absolutely insane. Now, here's the thing. Let's say an engineer look at the things we've done so far, right? Things have really come a long way. And we've gotten to where we can kind of read DNA a little bit and figure out where things come from and kind of how things hook together. And we can look at DNA sequences and figure out who's got certain disease and things like that. That's great. But now let's go backward and say, okay, engineer, can you take all that information, these 3.1 billion base pairs, and make a strand of it, and so that you can put it in each individual cell and have that each individual cell in human body exactly the same a trillion times? Can you make it that compact and put it together that well? What if they said yes? No one can. We're not there in our technology even close to it yet where someone could take that kind of information and miniaturize it and code it down to a single cell and make it all work, all the cells work together, right? But if someone could do that, what would that prove to you? Would that prove to you that that process came about because of intelligence? If someone could take all that information and put it down to a single cell in the proper order to make more cells like itself, wouldn't that show you that that was the product of power and intelligence, not happenstance? And if that would be the product of intelligence, what do we think it came from in the first place? When it comes to man, not only have to do with the power of God to create things, but the intelligence to create things. Listen, we have to have the intelligence to make these things and make them work. The idea of the intelligence, the idea of in the beginning God created heavens and earth, also requires intense intelligence to make all the living things and have them work. No, Jim, you see, what we have is a big bang, and that's what happened. So we have nothing at all, then everything. How did it happen? Well, it just did. Take my word for it. Well, how do you get something from nothing? Where'd everything come from? Well, you see, there's this thing called string theory, preacher. And there was a string, a single string, and that string vibrated. And when that string vibrated, the entire universe just happened. Where did a string come from? How'd it vibrate? Don't we have the same problem? How'd that happen? Well, it just happened. Take my word for it. These things, what they're saying is, give me that miracle, and I'll give you all the rest. So when you come over here to God created, well, we can't say God created is supernatural. We can't have God creating anything because that's crazy. That's crazy, preacher. Okay, How do you get everything from nothing? A string vibrating. That's natural. No, it's not. How do you get that happening? That's a miracle in and of itself. If it happened and it didn't. So why do you say over here when the God of the Bible, those miracles are ridiculous, they're false, you're crazy. Over here, these miracles, we've never even, you understand, we've never seen modern evolution take place at all. We take people's word for it. We've never seen one species become another species, not once. Not only that, but when it comes to human evolution, do you realize we talk about mutations and how, well, things mutate, you know, to higher life forms or different life forms. Okay. You ever looked at the rate of mutation in living things? Of all the mutations that happen over lifespans and generations that we've seen, we've actually watched in things that live very short life cycles, we've actually managed to be able to look at certain mutations and species. Things that live like a day or so, we can do that and have a lot of data very quickly. So, of all the mutations that happen, how often does even a mutation take place? Well, they're very rare for mutations to take place. But even when they do happen, though, you have this thing where, are all mutations positive? Almost none are. Out of 100, there's less than one that's positive. Almost all mutations are negative. They're bad, right? Almost all mutations are bad, where something happens and the living thing becomes less viable, more likely to die. Then if you have, that's like 90+% of all mutations. Then you have a few percent in the middle that they're neutral, right? They do neither good nor bad. You have some change in the DNA, but nothing really happens. Just neutral. Then there's the less 1% that's positive. But does it change the species? No. It's just not negative. It's not going to be hurtful. And it might have some benefit for the microorganism. But we're supposed to believe that a single cell, which happened somehow lived to become the dominant species on Earth, which is a human being. Because of all the mutations that we've never seen happen, at least on any kind of cell, which could change species at all. But it's not God, so believe it. It's not God, so it must happen that way. How about more than info? DNA, we're almost done, so stick with me. The food's coming. The information in DNA redirects and controls all the processes which transpire within the cell. Everything that happens in the cell happens because of DNA, including diagnosing, repairing, copying, and rebuilding the cell. Now think of a modern blueprint. You've seen blueprints. Some of them, I guess, are more on computers now than drawn out, but you still print blueprints so people can read them on the job site. Think of a blueprint having the ability to actually building the structure that's drawn on it. It can actually build a thing that's drawn on it. It can maintain that building, good repair, and even replicate it. So we're talking about DNA. Imagine what DNA actually does. Actually, DNA helps fold proteins and make more of the cell or make repairs parts of the cell. It actually is a blueprint that actually acts of making these cells and replicating and making them better and stronger and repairing them. So what people look at me like I'm crazy. I get that. But to think about a blueprint having the ability, through whatever means, to build the thing that's on this very plans, fix it when it comes to disrepair, and being able to replicate the entire process with more plans and more ability to make more buildings from just the blueprints itself. That's in all your biology. And we're asked to believe that just happened with no intelligence, with no power, with no design, that somehow we got a string vibrating somehow, some way, and everything just happened from that. Now, the Greek word for that, the Greek word is nonsense. It's just crazy. But we're asked to believe that without thinking about it. I want to go back to Augustine now. Men go abroad to wander at the height of mountains, at the huge waves of the sea, at the long course of the river and the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the stars, and they pass by themselves without wondering. I want to repeat what the Bible says one more time. It's a fool says in his heart, there is no God. I'm just asking people to look at the evidence. I can't break down how everything happened exactly. I can't break down how God said light being light was. I'm not God. I can't break down and explain to you exactly how God made all the creatures and all the stars in the sky and all this. I just know God did it. But is that any more crazy at all than looking at the moral order, the way we've got the Bible, how the Bible's maintained, the perfect moral law inside the Bible, how we got all these things? Is that any more crazy? I'm telling you, it's way more crazy to think that all this happened from just a string vibrating. And then, how do you get dead rocks and matter? And then how did those dead rocks and matter create life? And how's that life become more and more complex? One of the things I liked reading, I was going to put it on the slide, but I couldn't find the information. I read it, but it talked about the current age of the earth. Being pretty liberal with it. Well, we think that current, it's so many billion years old. And what they did was they took every life form that's ever been on earth, going back and looking at all the fossils and all the records and saying, okay, if we got here by mutation, how long would it take to get from a single cell organism to climb the food chain a little bit, even a small amount? And by current studies of standards of what we know about mutations, how they work, there's not been enough living things on the earth ever to make even new species, let alone a human being, from a single cell organism. In other words, even though we have almost infinite time, when you talk about age of the earth, there's not enough time to give us complex mammals from nothing, or at least a single cell organism, if you grant the fact that a cell could exist somehow automagically. Just doesn't work. These lessons, I know, can sometimes be like science classes, and I'm sorry about that. But I need to have confidence that the Bible's God's word if it is. Now, if the Bible's not God's word, we should all go home and go fishing or something else. But if the Bible is God's word, and if there's evidence that there are things in the Bible itself that tell us it must be from God, like pre-scientific knowledge, right? Those kind of things, where God reveals to us things we didn't learn for thousands of years after God revealed them. If there's things that are prophecy in the Bible where God predicts a thing 1,000 years before it comes to pass, right, and it comes to pass just like God said, if those kind of things are real, I can have faith in the Bible, the Bible being God's word. If that's true, by the way, what's it mean to me? That means I've got to take the Bible seriously. I have to know the coming day when I'll stand before God and I'll answer the things I do in this body. The judgment is sure if the Bible's true. That one day we'll all stand before Jesus Christ and every knee shall bow, right? I'll answer for the things done in this body, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I'll answer for things done in this body. That's what the Bible says, what Paul says about it. So these things matter to me. I hope they matter to you. Maybe you're here tonight and you want to know more about what the Bible says about what God expects of us. Maybe you want the prayers of the church if you're going through a difficult time. Maybe you'd like to be here tonight and want to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ because you know you want to do what the Bible says and obey from the heart the form of doctrine delivered to you, Romans chapter 6. All right, maybe you want that tonight. But if we can help you with the prayers of the church and be restored, would you please come as you stand as we sing this hymn?
Why do you wait, dear brother? Your Savior is longing to bless you. There's danger and death and delay. Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now?
Is there anybody who wasn't able to take the Lord's Supper this morning? Okay, please be seated. Before that, we'll sing song number 500. 500. Oh, thou fount of every blessing.